did not wake up one day and say, gee, I think I'll go out and have an affair. Absolutely not. It was just one baby step after another.
Gary and Mona Shriver were with us last time on Focus on the Family, and after 19 years of marriage, Gary confessed that he had been unfaithful, but God restored them, and now they've been happily helping couples for over 20 years, and you're going to hear more from them today on Focus on the Family. Your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
John, this is one of those testimonies of hope. And I know so often we hear the tragic end of a marriage where there was an unfaithful spouse and it ended. But you know what? God provides a way that it doesn't have to end.
That's
He does say for this purpose, divorce is legitimate. It's biblical. But he hates divorce. And I so admire couples that have gone through this kind of gut-wrenching betrayal, especially that spouse that had to hear the news. Yeah. I've had an affair, and yet they find a way to put their faith and their hope and their trust in God, not in their unfaithful spouse, and then begin to crawl back to a point of happiness and joy and trust in their relationship. You're going to hear the second half of the story today. Gary and Mona, welcome back to Focus.
Well, thank you.
Man, I couldn't stop thinking about the things you were sharing with us. You married as unbelievers, probably 5 years into your marriage. Gary, you became a Christian.
Yes.
3 years or so after that, Mona, you saw the light.
Yes.
I love it.
Came over from the dark.
And you know, again, what I so appreciate about what you said is you read the Word.
Yes.
You took a challenge to say, okay, I'm going to read it to see if it applies to me. God, you get one shot.
That's right.
And he usually says, okay,
I'll take it.
Yeah, he's
and
big enough.
He speaks to your heart through that. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to read my Word, I'll open your heart to my Word.
Mm-hmm.
And I so appreciate those testimonies. So you're moving along for 10 years and doing well as a married couple, both serving the Lord together, separate ministries. Gary, you're in music, and that's how you serve the Lord and your profession vocationally. Mona, you were described as, and self-described as, that kind of feminist. Again, the Lord was just working in your heart. That's my point of setting that up again. And then you got the news that Gary had been in a 3-year affair and had a one-night stand. In addition to that, the Lord used that one-night stand, Gary, to really grip your heart and say, listen, you're wretched. You need to get this straightened out. And it caught your attention. A younger, much younger coworker said, you got to fess up to this or I'm going to tell Mona. That was good pressure.
Yeah, buddy.
And Mona, the day came when confronted you. You described it so eloquently last time. Let's pick the story up there.
Okay.
Your breath is taken out of you. It's gut-wrenching. You're now trying to decide, am I in for the long term? Speak to that decision-making process, because we left off last time where you weren't sure if God could work a miracle. You weren't sure if you wanted to stay married. What advice do you have for that spouse who hears that news over the next few hours, few days, few weeks? What can they do to get their equilibrium just to make good decisions?
Well, and I think probably that's a point to be made, is that they're not in a place to make a good decision right now. So give themselves some freedom. They don't have to. Now, you know, if there are safety issues and such, there are other avenues. But it's
Hit that hard, because when we're talking about abuse, that's you got to get free of that, and you got to find a place of safety for yourself and for your children.
There are biblical reasons, I believe, for separation, but the goal is always to restore the marriage if at all possible. And so there might be some decisions that need to be made in that regard for safety for you or your children. But I think the point is to take your time and take a breathing was difficult. When you say take a breath, that took energy. Everything takes energy. So we often tell couples, or someone who just found out they were betrayed, that you almost have to treat yourself like you were in a car wreck. If you'd been in a car wreck and you had two broken legs, you would not continue doing life per norm. Well, you've been injured, and it is that severe. So people don't see your legs. They don't know about the car wreck necessarily, but you cannot do life as normal. So you get it down to the basics. You get down to, you know, take care of your body, get the rest you can. get in and get the support you need. We really do believe that most couples profit by professional Christian counseling. Mm-hmm. Of course, Gary and I and our ministry, Hope and Healing, provides a lot of peer support. We believe in that wholeheartedly. But the main thing is take your time and let God do the work. Lean into God.
Mm-hmm. What are some short-term things that you can do, even in the fog of the betrayal, that are important for potential survival as a couple? Mm-hmm. What are those things you can say, okay, I hear you. It's been a few days. These are my thoughts. This is what the Lord's been saying to me in my prayer time about this. Mm-hmm. When you recovered and kind of got on your feet, A, how long did that take just for that?
Yeah.
And then B, what were some of the things you and Gary talked about to say, here are the ground rules moving forward?
Right. When I can't even tell you when I recovered. It was such a gradual thing. It was impossible to pray for some time. All I could do was cry out, God, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then you take solace in that verse that the Holy Spirit prays for you when you don't know how to pray.
Were you mad at God at all, or
not
just
in
Gary?
The beginning, but there will come a time when, you know, it's like I spent 3 years getting close to you and learning about you, and this is my reward. Thanks, Ahi.
This was further down the line.
But that's down the line because, and the anger can be first, Jim.
Yeah.
It just, there are
everybody's
some
different.
Commonly seen responses to the news. So it can be anger, but we have to understand that somebody shouting from the rooftop trying to survive. Mm-hmm. All I could do was hold my Bible. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even read my Bible.
That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, that really is. It's so tender. There's almost poetry to that you're so broken inside, you don't know what to do.
You don't.
She was literally in the fetal position for a very long time.
So how are you responding?
Well, you see, at this point, I hate to even say this, but I'm at the best place I was spiritually for a long time.
Because you felt cleaner.
Now, it's in the light. It's, you know, God's move. I was closest that I was to God for a long time. But I just knew in those initial stages, she was broken. She was bleeding. She was just, you know, on the carpet and in the fetal position, quite literally. And that was something that as I knew that I needed to be in that damage control mode to help her to get through this, to do whatever I can. And I really, really, really like to speak to that, because I think that to think that she would have had the thought to be able to say, well, let's take a step at this point, or let's do this. She was just, this was a total trauma that's happened to her. She couldn't think at all. And I had to be there for her and help her through this. And so to make some sort of a commitment at that point, there was no way she could have done that. Mm-hmm. And I think that what's really important is to give the permission to the offended spouse out there that you don't have to at first. It needs to be something that you just have to be willing, if you can possibly, lean into God and just, because they're befuddled. They don't, the whole horizon is out of focus. They can't think. They can't do anything.
Foundations rock.
Just lean into God and just know that He is faithful to take that next baby step of restoration and bring that into focus for you, and then give you the boldness to take that step. And that is unique for every couple. There is no silver bullet, hey, here's the answer. Not at all, because everybody's different. Some it's met with anger. Mona was met with absolutely just, she was on the floor. She couldn't even talk.
The key there, and it's really good advice, is you have to move with the flow of it. I mean, it sounds kind of odd, but God will be present.
Yes, He will.
Mona, I do need to ask you, how did you not, I mean, in my mind, I could picture you pounding on Gary's chest. I mean, just like this. How could you do this? How could you do this?
The anger will come. We have a saying in our ministry that betrayed spouses find their anger. Because it's a normal part of it.
So it could be immediate, it could be days, it could be weeks, maybe months.
Even months.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think part of what we try to help couples understand is it is so convoluted, and it is a long process, and to ride the roller coaster.
That's right.
We try to normalize a very abnormal situation. Yeah. So, but one of the things Gary could do for me that we would say, if a couple came and he says, my wife's on the floor, what do I do? Well, this is your time. You step up. Mm-hmm. You take care of the kids.
That's right.
You let her rest. You do whatever you can to relieve her burden, and don't press her for anything except survival right now.
Yeah.
Those talks will come later.
Gary and Mona, we've dealt with a lot. pick up those pieces. How did you get into counseling? What was that like? How honest could you be? How did you respond, Mona? How many days, weeks, months before you were feeling like, okay, I want to try to make this work, where you could be honest about that? Mm-hmm. We need to speak in the last quarter of the 2 days we've been together about the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We ended up at a counselor because of our troubled middle child. And when we met with him, we said, by the way, you ought to know what's going on at our house. And that changed the whole dynamics.
I could imagine the counselor went.
Time out. Yeah.
And okay.
One of the things he shared with us was the kid's not going to be okay till mom and dad are okay. So he encouraged us to put our focus on us and not the kids. My kids watched more TV during that time than they ever had. We ended up with a really good counselor. He helped us a lot. Honesty was huge. To be transparently honest with one another. And that was a commitment Gary made to me. It was a commitment I made to him. We neither one were going to pretend we were okay if we weren't. So that meant a lot of difficult conversations with some real honesty. Sometimes we would have to go back and apologize for the way we shared that honesty. Yeah. You know, the biblical mandate is with as much kindness and respect as possible, you fail. Yeah. But you come back and you never apologize for the truth, but you share it as best you can. And talking it out is all part of that healing process.
Where was that tipping point for you, Mona, where you said, okay, I'm going to be in for the marriage? Because there must have been a point in time, maybe it wasn't as straightforward.
Right.
But you had to say, I'm committed.
Right. Probably the big tipping point, and again, I didn't have the words for it at the time. I only knew it had occurred. But there's a moment in time where the spouse who has been unfaithful gets it.
Right.
I can't define it any better than that, but they get it. You can't fake it. Your betrayed spouse will know when you get it. And I remember a time Gary and I had gone away on a camping trip and we were having one of our conversations. Actually, we were having fun and then we got into a conversation and he got it that night. Mm-hmm. It was really dramatic. Now, that was after several months of counseling and several months of talking.
When you say he got it, what do you mean, Melissa?
Well, I would love to explain that in the early stages, I was in and this is very common, in a damage control kind of mode and just had lots of energy and could just do and everything. And so as she's getting angry with me or whatever, I kind of maintain through the whole thing. But there comes a point that you get weary because it's just such a long thing.
Journey.
And in this particular instance, I remember that I finally saw the gravity. I finally saw the depth of the wound that I caused. I saw Daddy's little girl just broken and bleeding, and the devastation that I brought into this, and that was something that was I think I even say it in the book. It just hit me like, oh my goodness, how could I have brought this home? And I knew that I needed to get behind her eyes, and this was for the first time God was just really revealing and allowing me to get behind her eyes with empathy and compassion as to where she was. And it took a while, you know, because I was in, like I said, that damage control mode and trying to control and do everything, and you just can't. You have to leave it to the Lord. And when he did open my eyes to that, I could see. And that was, and that night, I just remember it was a night that I just absolutely broke. And I think I even say it was the night that I held her, or while I cried.
Yeah, the beauty of that is deep. Mm-hmm. And deep. I want to tie this to God's heart for us, because I think it's critically important. Mona, as you describe it, it's the reality of real repentance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, what you're saying is when you knew he got it,
yes,
that's what that is. Yeah. That is repentance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I think betrayed spouses need to understand, too, is that he didn't get it because he's so thick-skulled it took that long. It's because you have to realize what he had done to justify his behavior for 3 years so he could look in a mirror. Mm-hmm. And those defenses fade away, and it takes time for him to really comprehend, and a lot of talking. That working together enables him to get behind my eyes and to see what he did.
So the couple that is listening, or a spouse in trouble, either they're the ones in the affair or their spouse is, and they've recently found out. Tell me why you think it's worth the hard work?
Oh my goodness. We've had 20 plus years since the infidelity. We've had moments that I will cherish forever. It does not destroy everything about your marriage, although it feels like that in the beginning. There will be some things that are lost, and you'll have to figure that out. We talk about that in the book. Mm. But there are some things you can reclaim. You know, the same God that takes a sinner and makes him pure before his holiness can do this to the marriage. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible for that. In fact, I have a letter here that I'd like to share with you with permission from
Who's
the
this
author.
From?
This is from a woman whose husband had a 4-year affair that was revealed 15 years after denial.
Wow.
And they attended, we have weekend intensives for adultery recovery, and they attended our intensive about a year and a half ago. They were about 6 months into their recovery, and now they're about a year and a half. Other than their counselor, they have chosen not to share this journey with anyone, including their children.
Uh-huh. Very common.
So, which is very common. So, anyway, she and I had spent a lot of time talking and emailing, and she really struggled, and we spent a lot of time together. And God laid her on my heart just a couple of weeks ago, so I just sent her a quick, "Hey, how you doing? Haven't heard from you for a while." And this is some of her letter. It says, "We are not where we were and not where we ultimately want to be. However, having experienced God's grace, healing, and guidance, we are becoming more and more confident our future together will be unexplainably and inconceivably more than we can ask or think. I remember the love I saw between you and Gary and Mike and Joe." Mike and Joe are our co-founders. "I remember a year ago not seeing Gary and Mike as men who had affairs, but as husbands totally committed to women they loved dearly. Today I am, without a doubt, committed to remain on this journey of healing. Today I am experiencing a transformation, a transparency, and an open and expressive love in our marriage I used to dream about. Thank you does not begin to express. God has used you again and again in this journey. You have been to me what you longed for in your journey, the one who had gone before and confirmed healing was worth it."
Mm-hmm. One thing that has been said is when couples go through this and they heal, mm-hmm. that their trust, their honesty toward each other is at a much deeper level.
Much deeper, yes.
Much deeper.
And you found that.
Yeah, and it's not because their marriage is better. That used to make the hair on the back of my neck stand up because it was like, okay, what were the first 20 years?
Correct.
But what happens is God continues to make us into That's the man right. and woman he created us to be.
Exactly.
So Gary's married to a much better woman today than he was 25 years ago. And I'm married to a much mm-hmm. better man than mm-hmm. I was 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's what makes the relationship mm-hmm. better.
When you look at the scripture and you see this story played out in many different ways. Obviously, King David
mm-hmm.
comes to mind. Mm-hmm. And you see that God says of King David that he had a heart for him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The legalist, Mona, where you were in your early years mm-hmm. and viewing Christianity from that perspective says, you know, he committed the big ones.
Right.
Murder and adultery. Yeah. Yeah. How could God even say that? We act as if God is surprised by our sexual appetites
mm-hmm. That's right.
that he created in us mm-hmm. to be in the context of marriage.
Yeah.
Then we breach that. It doesn't shock God.
No.
We treat him like he's a grandpa that doesn't know what happens.
Yeah. Right.
He knows.
Mm-hmm. He knows.
And then you come back with that heart of repentance, like David.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
he was a repentant man as well.
Yeah.
He saw his sin. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at that, that's why God said, "This is a man after my heart."
Mm-hmm.
It's not
it
that
is.
You fail. It's what you do with failure.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And the other thing I've realized since the infidelity is that I had Gary on a pedestal as being better than that. I never really thought about it consciously. And so what God has shown me is he's just a man, but he's a good man. He's not defined by this one episode of sin. And our marriage is not defined by this one episode of sin. And our marriage bed was not destroyed. It doesn't take it forever. That is one thing that you can reclaim. There are lots of ways to do that, and not everybody's the same, but it's not a total loss. And it is great to do this.
Mona, just for the listener who's been following along saying, wait a minute, it wasn't a single thing. It was 3 years. Yeah. It was multiple offenses. How do you get over that?
The single thing of infidelity. No, they're absolutely right. There were forgiveness for this is a very long and detailed list. It's not one thing I forgive and move on. And the big difference between forgiveness, trust, and reconciliation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mona, I need to ask this on behalf of the wives that I think struggle mm-hmm. with this idea that, you know, they're shooting for a life in Christ that is as close to perfection as they can get to. And I think women load that guilt upon themselves.
They do.
So mm-hmm. easily, much more so than men. And I'm not wanting to stereotype here. I'm just, move with me in the generalities mm-hmm. of this. Thank men, you. Because of our ego, we tend to say, if we can't reach that, fine, forget it. We walk away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Women say, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a big difference. And in this context, I'm thinking, you know, of helping that wife understand that in our human condition, people are going to let you down. Your kids mm-hmm. are going to let you down.
That's right.
Your husband may let you down.
That's right.
And if you're living in a place where you're striving to be perfect, it can be withering to those around you.
It really
what
is.
Advice do you have for that woman who's disappointed in everything around her because nobody around her is living up to the standard she has for them?
Well, I think our culture still lays that guilt trip in that if you're a good enough wife, your husband won't stray. And first of all, that's a lie. So I'll share with you what our therapist shared with me when I expressed that, was that there is no good enough reason for sin, for infidelity. So I don't care if I was the worst wife in the world.
Right.
Gary had other avenues to take besides acting out in a sinful way and committing adultery. So his sin of adultery had nothing to do with me. That's 100% on Gary, his choice, his issue. Now he brought it home, we're going to have to deal with it. But the other part of healing from infidelity is the marriage. Now, in the marriage, it's 100% me and 100% him. Those are issues that we have to look at and face because we're going to change something. We can't go back to the way it was. We're going to make it better. And as a betrayed spouse, it's almost impossible to separate those two things initially. But if you could do that, if you can separate the actual infidelity from the marriage, then you can start dealing with those things and make some changes and see your culpability and whatever. But it's not the result. It didn't happen because of that.
And infidelity. I love that instruction. I mean, that hits it. And I, again, want to end with hope. There is so much hope for those marriages that are struggling in that area. You just need the want to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's not, I don't say that easily. No. I know that's hard. You can barely breathe, perhaps,
that's
like
right.
Mona described. But Gary, Mona, what an amazing testimony. And I so appreciate you standing up in the gap mm-hmm. for marriage. I hope 20 and 30 somethings are listening.
Yes.
And if you have a young adult in your life and you're older, maybe your son or daughter.
Daughter going through this.
That's right.
This is the kind of show you need them to hear. And hopefully they can be receptive to that. You've been married 40 years now. I think over 40. Over 40.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Married when I was 5.
She looked shocked there.
Yeah. It was pre-arranged.
Yeah. But life goes on, and your marriage goes on, and your relationship goes on. And I can see and sense that you are doing well.
We are.
And you're
we
happy are. Together and joyful. Mm-hmm. And that's the greatest testimony of all.
This is Focus on the Family, and what an amazing testimony we've heard the past couple of days with Gary and Mona Shriver. And it may be that you can identify with them. You've been in a tough spot in the past or even now. Please know, God is able to do an amazing work in your life and in your lives as a couple if you'll ask Him to help. And we encourage you to do that. Seek out a Christian counselor or a pastor as a starting point. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller.
The Shrivers have been incredibly open and candid with us again today. There was genuine vulnerability packed into the conversation as they allowed us access to the very thoughts and feelings that occurred during the most difficult time of their marriage. May we remind you that Focus on the Family's Counseling Department is here to help you if you are experiencing difficulty in your marriage. Our trained counselors can speak with you over the phone or via email and can also refer you to licensed counselors practicing in your area. Please call 031-716-3300 to speak to someone or log on to safamily.co.za and scroll down to the counseling link. In their book, Unfaithful, the Shrivers share their story with raw and transparent honesty, offering hope and practical strategies for healing whilst inspiring readers along the way. Perhaps this topic is close to your heart because you've experienced the pain of infidelity in your marriage. Well, you'll greatly benefit from this book, which you can find online at safamily.co.za or call us on 031-716-3300. And also look out for our Top 50 USB Broadcast Collection 2019, on which this two-part program is included. Thanks for being with us today. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you back next time, when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.